Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Principles of Economics by Saifedean Ammous is a university-level economics textbook written from an Austrian school perspective. It is designed to introduce core economic reasoning in a sequence that moves from individual choice and market coordination to the broader effects of institutions and policy. The book explains standard topics such as supply and demand, production, consumption, prices, money, taxation, regulation, and public goods, while consistently emphasizing how economic systems shape incentives and social outcomes. Ammous presents the material in a style aimed at students, general readers, and professionals who want a clear alternative to mainstream Keynesian framing. Historical examples and contemporary policy debates are used to make the concepts concrete, and the book is also paired with an online course that extends its educational purpose. Its main goal is not simply to define economics, but to train readers to think about action, scarcity, coordination, and the unintended consequences of policy more rigorously. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Austrian economics as the organizing framework. The most distinctive feature of the book is that it presents economics through the Austrian tradition rather than through the standard mainstream textbook approach. That choice shapes the entire structure. The book does not treat the economy as a machine that can be managed through aggregate equations, but as a network of individual decisions, incentives, and exchanges. By organizing the material this way, Ammous emphasizes economic logic before statistics and institutions before intervention. Readers are encouraged to see that prices, profits, losses, and entrepreneurial judgment are not secondary details, but the core mechanisms through which economic knowledge is communicated. This framework also explains the book's critical stance toward Keynesian policy ideas, which the author views as too reliant on artificial stimulus and too weak on real resource constraints. The result is a textbook that is not neutral in the conventional sense, but internally coherent in its theoretical commitments. For readers, this makes it useful both as an introduction to Austrian economics and as a structured alternative to the dominant classroom narrative. Secondly, how supply, demand, and prices coordinate real-world behavior. A major topic in the book is the role of supply and demand in organizing economic activity. Ammous uses these basic concepts not as isolated graphs to memorize, but as tools for understanding how millions of separate choices become coordinated through market prices. In this view, prices are signals that transmit information about scarcity, consumer preferences, and production costs. When demand changes or when supply is disrupted, prices adjust and push buyers and sellers toward new patterns of behavior. The explanatory value of this approach is practical. It shows why shortages, surpluses, and misallocation occur when prices are distorted or prevented from moving freely. The book's treatment of price formations is therefore central to its broader argument that markets solve coordination problems more effectively than centralized planning. This topic also matters because it gives readers a way to interpret real-world events, from commodity disruptions to policy-driven market failures. Rather than treating prices as arbitrary numbers, Ammous frames them as essential information systems that connect individual choice to social order. Thirdly, production, consumption, and the logic of capital accumulation. The book also places strong emphasis on production and consumption as interconnected parts of the economic process. Ammous does not present consumption as the primary goal in isolation. He links it to the structure of production that makes future consumption possible. This leads to a focus on capital formation, time preference, and the idea that societies become wealthier when they save, invest, and extend productive processes. In practical terms, the argument is that prosperity depends on the ability to defer immediate gratification in order to build tools, infrastructure, and more efficient methods of production. That emphasis fits the Austrian tradition, which treats economic growth as rooted in real savings and entrepreneurial allocation rather than in abstract spending alone. The book also helps readers see why short-term consumption booms can be misleading if they are not backed by underlying productivity. By treating production and consumption as parts of a single chain, Ammous gives readers a clearer understanding of why economic development is fragile when capital is consumed faster than it is replenished. This topic makes the book especially useful for readers who want to connect theory with long-run prosperity. Fourthly, government intervention, taxation, and regulation as incentive systems. Another central theme is the economic role of government, especially taxation, regulation, and the provision of public goods. Ammous does not merely describe these institutions. He evaluates them in terms of the incentives they create and the behavioral changes they produce. Taxes reduce the return to productive activity. Regulation can raise costs or block competition. And intervention often changes market outcomes in ways that are not immediately visible in policy discussions. The book's strength is that it repeatedly asks what happens after the stated policy goal is announced, rather than assuming the goal is achieved because the policy exists. This makes the analysis useful for understanding unintended consequences, such as lower innovation, distorted investment, or resources diverted toward compliance and lobbying. At the same time, the book recognizes that governments do play roles in defining rules and enforcing property rights, so the argument is not simply anti-state rhetoric. Instead, it asks readers to examine which functions genuinely support exchange and which ones interfere with it. This incentive-based approach gives the book a disciplined way to analyze policy without relying on abstract political labels. Lastly, historical and current examples as a bridge between theory and practice. The book repeatedly uses historical episodes and current events to show how economic ideas operate outside the classroom. This is important because the text is not written as a purely theoretical treatise. It is meant to teach readers how to apply economic reasoning to observable events by connecting concepts such as inflation, regulation, production, and policy error to real cases. Amis makes the subject less dependent on abstract modeling and more dependent on causal interpretation. That method also supports the author's broader educational aim. Readers should leave with a framework they can use to assess arguments in public debate, business decisions, and personal financial choices. The use of examples helps show that economic principles are not confined to markets in the narrow sense, but extend to institutions, culture, and national development. Because the book is openly written from a specific school of thought, these examples also serve a persuasive purpose, illustrating why the author believes Austrian economics explains reality better than mainstream approaches. For readers, this applied method increases accessibility and makes the book valuable even when they disagree with some of its conclusions. In conclusion, Principles of Economics is best suited for readers who want a serious introduction to economic theory from an Austrian school perspective, especially students, self-directed learners, entrepreneurs, and readers already skeptical of mainstream macroeconomic policy. It offers practical value by teaching how to think in terms of scarcity, incentives, prices, capital, and unintended consequences, rather than relying on slogans about growth or stimulus. That makes it especially useful for anyone who wants a clearer conceptual toolkit for interpreting inflation, regulation, taxation, and market coordination. Compared with standard economics textbooks, its main difference is not just style, but framing it is openly doctrinal, unapologetically theoretical, and consistently organized around individual action and market process. Compared with popular economics books, it is more systematic and more suitable as a course text. Readers who want a balanced exposure to Austrian ideas will find it especially useful as a structured overview, while readers who disagree with the perspective may still benefit from understanding a coherent alternative to the mainstream view. Its combination of accessibility, rigor, and ideological clarity makes it stand out in a crowded field of economics introductions. If you would like to support Seyfide Amis, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.